Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Well, everybody knows what mine is.
Your what is?
Favorite candy. Didn't you just say favorite candies?
No.
Oh,
you
no.
You were just thinking
Sean,
that? Oh,
voices.
My God, Sean.
He's hearing
are you
candy
thinking all the
again.
Time favorite candies?
I thought you just said name your favorite candy.
No, nobody said favorite candies.
Oh, boy. Welcome to Smartless.
Smart.
So, listener, Sean is in England.
London, England.
And what's, Sean, what you're doing there, this is the Edgar Wright.
This is just a little cameo in the Running Man movie directed by Edgar
you
Wright.
You went to England to do some, to record some cameos?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, how much you got? How much you got?
Okay. Hey, it's Sean Hayes. Happy birthday. Gary, congratulations.
Sean, you've negotiated.
I had to fly to London.
Yeah, Sean, you've negotiated a very nice accommodations for yourself there.
Yes, it's wonderful. Thanks
good
to
for
Paramount
you.
Pictures, yeah.
Oh, lovely. So that's at least a one-bedroom suite you've got there for your cameo?
Well, we get two bedrooms because there's snoring happening. With
oh,
Scotty's
so you've come out of pocket is what you're saying. You're going to spend everything you're making just to keep Scotty out of your bed.
You know, also, I know we talked about this before, but like the jet lag thing, is unbelievable.
What time is it right now for you?
It's 5:30, and I like 20 minutes ago, my head was bobbing. I'm like,
well, yeah, because it's 9:30 in the morning here in Los Angeles. So you just have spent all night awake,
night up,
basically.
Right.
Let's just say this: it's safe to say, and I mean this with a tremendous amount of love.
Uh oh.
You operate your normal life as if you have jet lag.
It's totally terrible.
It's terrible. You should be sent away to a sleep. I mean it because. Yeah.
No, I did it. I did a sleep study and all that. I have apnea and all that.
Something needs to happen because you're a candidate for dropping dead.
What do you mean?
Wait, are you saying because he's tired all the time?
Well, he just has no, his
well, I sleep 3 or 4 hours and I'm up, then I sleep another 3 or 4 hours.
His sleep hygiene it's really bad. And I mean this, I know that I'm sort of joking around, but it is true that it's serious.
I know, but I tried, I did the thing, I went to the, you know, got the sleep study, and then they say, you have apnea, it's really bad, and so they sell you that machine, so I bought the machine. And, you know, I tried it for a month. I could talk for an hour about all the issues I have. One thing I didn't tell you, Jason, I think I told
you. Wait, so are you still using the hoses?
No, I'm done. I can't do it.
Right. So now you're just risking suffocating to death every day.
Yeah, your health.
Yeah, I sleep better without the machine.
No, you don't.
I do, I'm telling you.
All right.
I can't do this. But there is something funny that happens with that machine. You know, you know what it is, right? You hook it up to your nose, your nostrils, it goes through your nostrils and it covers your mouth and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm all set up and Scotty comes in, this is like a few weeks ago, to say goodnight to me and I have it on so you can't really talk because all the air is blowing inside of, you know, inside of your mouth.
Yeah, you're so like in the ER.
Yeah, just like in the ER. And he goes, all right, babe, I love you, goodnight. And I go, I love you too. True, because you can't take it out of your mouth.
Is it? But you're now right. Scotty's real. I mean, you're already his dream guy, but now you're his real because now you've got a whole sci-fi look to you. That just you're scratching every itch
Prometheus.
Of his.
I look like Prometheus, the guy in Prometheus.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
So now does that get him excited? Are you guys are you having an increased physical life decreased
just
one?
The opposite.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We're into sort of just like a seasonal touch up.
Yeah. What do you mean?
It's like once in the spring, once in the winter, once in the fall.
You want to know the rates of their sex life?
I do. Okay. Let's do that. Jesus. I'm sure that our guest will wait.
Let's do that. I like hearing, we get updates from Amanda when you guys do it.
Yeah, right? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
And unsolicited. Like, yeah. And then Jason, I'm like, hey, Amanda, I honestly, you got to know that I don't want to know this.
Yeah, don't want to know about anybody, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, she loves to share.
I know.
It's sweet.
God bless her. It is sweet.
Will, thanks for combing your hair. Started a little bit rough.
It's just sweaty. I just worked out.
You don't need to scream. Okay, we're all exercising. All right. Okay. What are you doing for workouts over there in New York? Are you outside? Or are you inside?
No. I'm inside. I'm mixing it up. I've got a few different things that I'm doing, and Downey put me in touch with these guys who've opened a new facility that I'm going to go look at next week that apparently they do all sorts of cool stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm in touch with a guy and I just
haven't had it. What kind of new stuff? Like stuff we don't know about?
Yeah, just like new stuff.
Like how to kill a guy with a ballpoint pen.
Well, it's just more like street fighting, you know.
But you get hot looking while you're doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so. Do you have a whole intro?
Well, our next guest grew up in England, okay?
Oh, okay.
But you know what? She's a real whippersnapper. This 20-year-old has already done a lot. She's received multiple nominations for Emmys and SAG. She's produced and starred in her own franchise. She's written a New York Times bestseller now being adapted for the screen by an Oscar nominee.
What?
She's got her own global beauty product line. She's a star of one of the most successful shows in the world. And still at just 20 years old, she's the proud mother of 10 children.
What are you talking about?
They all have four legs.
Weird, it's all Millie? One of his. It's Millie? One of his weird intros. Go ahead. Who is it?
Yeah, they've all got four legs, but she doesn't love them any less.
Oh my God.
Guys, oh my please God. Welcome Miss Millie Bobby Brown.
No way!
You guys.
No way! Oh my God,
guys,
I'm such a big
fan. It's very hard to stay quiet while you're taking the piss out of each other. It's really hard.
Now, Millie, and it's Millie, it's not Millie
so
Bobby.
Exciting.
Right? It's Millie.
Yeah, Millie.
And we're not are we doing the Bon Jovi as well? You did take his name.
Yes. I am, like, legally, but, like, stage names staying the same.
So how are you introducing yourself? But hi, my name is...
When we sue you...
Yeah,
we want to get it right. Full...
It'll be Millie Bobby Bon Jovi if you sue me.
Okay. Oh, sure.
What do you mean, if?
Now, Will, you're fairly close to her father-in-law, is that correct?
I want to say fairly close. I've known him for a number of years. Yeah, he's a great dude.
The best.
A great dude. Guest of the show here.
Past guest of the show. Great awesome. Guy. Yeah. We've had John on here. He's a great musician, talented guy, great guy.
What kind of father-in-law is he?
Fantastic.
Is he?
Yeah, like it's been so great because I grew up obviously in the public eye and he started, you know, so young, like... So it's really nice because he, you know, obviously us being, he's a man and I'm a woman. So we deal with our separate things, but to mm-hmm. be able to come together sometimes and when I need him, he is very much there for me in like the best ways, like always like making sure I'm okay. If there's anything that's ever going on, I'm always like, can you help me out in this situation?
Right. And he's talking about the weirdness of the
so
business. Yeah.
Informative. Like, right. I mean, just, yeah, it's like. His wisdom is ridiculous. Yeah, and just like, but also like such a great person. So for me, it's like, yeah, we talk about the whole fame thing, but it doesn't really come up in conversation. It's more about like the kind of person he and his wife, my mother-in-law is. Like they are just, they're just really good people. And like,
they
just do good and they're good people. And so I just strive to be like them.
Yeah, I love that.
They're like... really, really admirably normal people.
It's
amazing.
You know, yeah. But also, they did everything together. Like,
yeah.
Which is so beautiful. Like everything. They start their high school sweethearts. So to be able to go through that all together as a team, they make such a wonderful team. Such great parents. Yeah. Obviously,
Dorothea, right? Kids. That's his wife.
Dorothea,
she's amazing. She's really cool.
She really is. So I've been really lucky. Like never, you know, I have. My parents are, they're English.
Your dad's amazing. Please tell him hello. Love that guy.
Oh, you know he loves you so much.
How do you know her dad, Jason?
Guys, easy. Don't worry about it, okay?
Wait. Millie, how does your dad know Jason?
I'm asking her, not you.
We were at an award show party. My dad, like...
Oh, of course. That's where you'll find him.
That's where you'll find my father, apparently.
No, Jason, it's...
Oh, Jason. Oh, no, yeah. Jason, you were... I think you were...
I've got a catering company. Never mind.
No, I think
they
there was...
just deliver nuts.
I think you... I want to say you were nominated.
something like that.
That doesn't sound right.
And I was too, I think. So we were together at this party, and my dad never does this. He came up to me. He's like, do you think that you could go up to Jason Bateman for me? Because I love him. And I was like, I was like 14. I was like, sure. So I go up and walk over and I'm like, hi, like, this is my dad. And anyway, my dad is like the sweetest person, but he is, and he's so personable, so funny. He's so English.
He is awesome.
Like, he would be, the banter is endless with him. And so he kind of just makes friends with really anyone.
Salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm, really great. Like, he got a coconut cake from Tom Cruise this year. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's just that kind of guy. Like, makes friends with everyone, loves everyone, and you just happen to be one of his favorite people. And that's
up until he met him.
Of course, and then he said, wow, never meet your idols. Since you started so young, he must have been on set with you a bunch, and then once you passed 18, now you no longer get to share full days with him, like, because I remember that transition in my life with my parents. It's like you miss them a bit. Yeah.
Well, it's really interesting because when I turned 18, it was this really weird, like, well, what do we do now? And do you still want to come? Like, because it's also like, you know,
I can drive now, Dad.
Yeah, and also just like, I know it's boring. Like, I know what you're doing is like, it's sat there boring, but. Right. He now is just my manager, and like, we do everything together. We sign deals together, figure out my next projects together. I talk to him maybe like 6 hours a day, like on the phone. Like, if he's not with me, we are talking to each other on the phone. We're just basically like, he kind of helps me run my production company, and we just are developing new stories every day. But he's a very creative man, really creative.
Is he mainly out here in the UK or is
he usually follows me everywhere because we have separation anxiety. Me and my parents, like, it's really bad, but like, we have really bad separation anxiety and he is the worst for it. He doesn't like to admit it, but he really is. So anytime I'm not in England, like, they'll basically follow me around. This is the longest time, and he'll get out his calendar like in his office and he'll be like, not with Millie, and he's like, okay, I'm not with you for 3 weeks, like, what are we gonna
do? Like, that's gonna be hard for me when my girls leave.
When
they go to college, you know, because I like my daughters.
Do you?
Don't look so confused.
Sorry, no, I'm really, this is news to all of us. Sorry, Millie.
Yeah, their names are...
There we go. Hey, Millie, how old were you? We know JB. I know JB is like, you've been worrying about them going to college since they were 8.
I know, so just, it's true. Like,
you're the first guy whose kids have gone away. Shut up, Bateman. Hey, Millie, can I ask you a question? He's been like teary-eyed for 10 years.
I know, it's very sweet.
Millie, how old were you? What was your first foray into performing? Like, whose idea was it? Was your mom and dad going like, all right, we've got a real hot ticket on our hands here. We need to put her into something. Or were you like, I got to go do something? Like, what was that process?
No, my parents are like, you know, my dad worked on a fruit and veg stand. Like, he worked at a market, a fruit and vegetable market. So my dad did that the majority of his life. And that goes back, like, actually, we have pictures of our family in, like, the 1800s, like, doing that same thing.
Wow. So no kidding.
So it's like
What part of the UK was that in?
In Dorset, so in the countryside of England.
Okay, nice.
That's what my dad did. My mom, you know, she had 4 kids. She had her last daughter when she was 41. So she's been like, you know, the best, most present mom ever, and been very lucky to have that time.
Where are you in that order?
I'm third.
Third, okay.
Oh, so my older sister's 30. My older brother is 27. And then my younger sister is 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's kind of they had gaps. It was really weird. So basically I
JB, you have a gap, right? Like 88 to 92. Is that a big gap for you?
This one between my teeth, I can whistle with it.
I remember you saying 88 to 92 is a big gap for you. So there you are, you're in the UK, your dad's selling fruit and veg, amazing.
Yeah. And I've always been, I always loved dancing and singing. Like, it was never, like, acting, I didn't really even know it was a job. Like, I didn't know it existed. And then we moved to Orlando, Florida from England, kind of randomly.
Really?
And
for, not for you? Not for performing?
No, just because my family, I would like to say, and even now, we're still very, like, we're nomads. Like, we kind of just, we never take a plane, we always drive. We're always just like that kind of family. If we want to go somewhere, we'll just get in the car and go. Like, we've always been like that. Never kind of, we don't need a lot to plan.
Her dad was in search of a better orange. And it took him right to Orlando.
Really nice connection. Thank you. And then you thought,
that
like,
was
what's
a really great, I just, that took so much longer for me in my head. I'm so sad.
I'm incredibly fast.
Like, oh, I'm sad too, but for different reasons. Hey, so Orlando, you guys were like, hey, what's the most beautiful, idyllic city in the world?
We went, we went there a lot as like, growing up, I went there a lot on vacation.
Yeah.
And then my dad was like, I just love it here. I love the weather. I love like the vibe. I love the people. Yeah. So we were like, okay. So we moved there for about maybe 6-8 months. And then
How old were you when you moved?
I was 8.
Wow.
And my little sister was probably like, oh my gosh, maybe like, I want to say like 9 weeks old. Like, was like, she was it was kind of a crazy decision, but we moved. Yeah. And then I went to school in Orlando, again, not performing at this point.
Yeah.
And then on like, we heard this thing on the radio, me and my dad, and it was like, come to this workshop where you can dance, sing, and act, and da-da-da. My dad was like, that's cool. Like, you should go. Because I was driving him insane on the weekends, basically just keep me busy. I didn't have any friends or
anything. Singing and dancing.
Yeah. And then he took me, and then I started going for a bit, and then I came back home, and I was like, you need to take me. I actually said, which I don't remember saying this, but my parents are like, you said it.
Parents lie, but...
If you take me to Hollywood, I'll make it. And my dad was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I want to go to Hollywood. And
that's so cool.
I remember having like dream, like I wanted so badly to be in LA and to be an actor. And so the next week we packed up the car and we drove from Orlando to LA. We didn't have a house, we didn't have anything planned. We stayed in a motel on the side of the highway.
What?
And I just went to auditions and agents the whole time.
And were your siblings like, I don't want to go to Hollywood. I want to stay.
Well, you know what's crazy is, no, my brother didn't like school in America. He had a hard time adjusting because he was like 16. So it was a little harder for him.
Yeah.
I found it even difficult, like making friends there, just being able to kind of like have common, you know, ground, especially when you're 16. Like, all these people know each other. They all go to the same kindergarten, the same, you know what I mean? And, like, they all know each other. And this is a small town in Florida. So for my brother, it was hard for him to adjust. And then...
But what was the plan for mom and dad to do in Hollywood while they and the other kids? You guys just loaded up the van and went across the country and we'll just figure it out when we get there?
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, figure it out.
Great family.
I mean, incredible. Yeah.
Figure it out. And like everything was like, if we're together, we're okay. Like we're always going to be okay.
No matter
and
what.
So,
and then you crushed it.
And did your parents have jobs lined up along the way? Or
so, no, like my dad actually, he, because I was born in Spain, which is
Marbella.
And my dad was a really successful real estate agent there. That's what he got into. So he was always like, my dad, again, like he's like kind of a jack of all trades, like always been like kind of knowing of everything and like it's always been like he's very talented in that. So when we moved there, it was literally, it was like, we have to kind of, now we have to figure this out. So I went on auditions and...
You got an agent right away that got you
an agent.
Yeah.
I actually, weirdly, maybe the first 2 weeks, I was going to agents and like went to a bunch of different people. And I went to Mel's Drive-In for lunch.
Yeah. Wow.
And James Woods was there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was like... And I grew up watching, like, I didn't watch animation. Like, I watched Casino, I watched Moulin Rouge. I watched, like, mm-hmm. these were, like, I never, ever believed, like, I was never one of those kids. Like,
right, right.
I loved Disney Channel.
You knew who he was.
But I did know who he was.
Yeah.
He wrote on, like, the thing, like, you know, I knew you before you were famous. And it was, like, the 2 weeks that I got to LA and I kind of, I got an agent and did the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Then I basically just auditioned after, and I was going up for jobs, like, you know, I went for commercials, but I also went for the BFG. I went, you know, I did Steve Jobs, like the Jobs movie. Like, I really went up for everything, and got really close. I mean, yeah, like I kind of was
with no training.
No, I've never been trained. Like, even when I was going in Orlando, it was never training. Like, it was always like. Do you know what I mean? It was like, they taught me how to sing. They taught me how to model, which was terrible. Like, I am not a model. And then they taught me how to dance, and I loved it. But, of course, it was like me, like, just shaking ass. Like, I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
And then, but the acting thing, I really got, I could, you know, the monologue stuck in my head, and I would think about it for a while. And, like, that stuck for me.
Right.
We'll be right back.
And now, back to the show.
Well, what's so amazing to me is, first of all, nerd alert, like the rest of the world, I'm such a huge Stranger Things fan. And when I watched the first season, I mean, I was just blown away, not only by the show, but of course by you. And I had that thought. I was like, how does this little girl know how to be such a brilliant actor?
And without even speaking that much, right? I mean, that first season, there wasn't...
That's why I said no training, because it's like, how are you, A, so comfortable in front of the camera? B, how did you learn how to do that at such a young age when it takes years and years for other people to do it?
Yeah, she's so young and so much better than you already. Like, that must have been, for you, jarring. Like,
what the hell's going on?
It was very jarring. Yeah, so then I read for one of the kids as well on Stranger Things.
No, I'll be honest, like, you know, when we start, like, I started auditioning and I got, like, jobs, like, I was, like, you know, did NCIS and Modern Family and, like, I was kind of just doing these, like, bit roles, but, like, still had just so much fun. But when we moved back to London, because we eventually couldn't afford to live in LA anymore and, like, we basically was just, like, we can't do this anymore. So we moved back to London, and then I had an audition where I got told, like, basically, I wasn't going to make it. And, like, in person, this person told me this.
Wait. Who was the person? You don't have to say their name, but what was their position?
They were a casting director.
Wow. How old were you at the time?
Maybe, 10.
Imagine saying
this
that
monster
to a
said to you, you know, you're not going to make it as an actor.
That I was too mature, so I couldn't. I wasn't going to make it because I was too mature. I didn't oh, that have that kid like kind of
like
that kid like thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I went home and I cried and I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. Like, I don't want to act anymore. My parents were like, my dad actually. My mom was very much always like, whatever you want. We love ya, whatever you want, you know what I mean? But my dad,
darling.
Your accent is actually not too bad.
thank you. Thank you.
but yeah, my dad saw something, and he always saw that drive in me and was like would never let me, you know, slip on that. And so he was like, there's this audition in my inbox. Let's do the last one and then we're done. Like, we don't have to do it anymore. And that last audition was Stranger Things.
Wow.
So, and so you auditioned from in England?
On that same day. I was so upset from what
on
happened.
On the same day?
It was the same day. And my dad just, like, we set it up. And I just went on a blank wall, read the script, and was like, what? Like, she doesn't have any lines. She just cries.
And she bleeds from her nose.
And she, but it didn't even say anything. It didn't say, like, she had superpowers, her name was Levin, nothing like that. It was just, like, girl... confused, like, comes to, like, doesn't seem like she's kind of human, like, very, very, and I was really vague, and I just did what felt natural, but also used so much of the emotion that had been happening earlier on in that
you were
day.
In a really raw place.
Really raw, like, my,
And did you have long hair then, and then, of course, you shaved it for the first season?
Yeah, I had long hair, and then didn't hear from them for 3 months and kind of stopped auditioning. Like, didn't audition 3 months. And then I got an email saying, hey, the directors of that show that you auditioned for really like you. Can we Skype? So
remember that, guys?
I Skyped with them.
Yeah.
I Skyped with them. Yeah, I know. I said that the other day and people younger than me were like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like,
remember it used to be like, yo, can I Skype you real quick? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
So you did a callback via video, yeah?
Yeah, and then I did an American accent the whole time because I didn't want them to know I was British. So they had no idea I was British. I basically wanted them to know that I could hold an American accent for that long without them knowing. So they could rely on me.
Yeah.
So then they, after the Skype, they were like, can you fly out to LA? So my dad and I flew out to LA. And this is kind of the weird part. Like, and I said this in my speech, like on the last day of filming, but like we got on the plane and at this point I knew that my character's name was 11 and I was on row 11. And then we got to the hotel. I was on floor 11.
Wow.
And everything just seemed really, really weird. Like everything felt way too real and kind of positive and optimistic for the first time.
That's amazing.
In kind of like years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I went in and I met with them. And I remember it was really weird. They didn't have any lines for me. They just were like, here's a box of clothes. What would you do if you weren't like human? If you didn't know who you are, like you weren't like, you know, a normal regular girl, what would you do with this? And I just like kept like putting the clothes like on my head and then like just kind of feeling them and like and I think they were like, shit. Like
she's crazy.
We found her.
Oh, sorry.
We found her. Yeah,
we found her.
That too. They didn't realize that then, but I think they do now.
You probably had Sean Levy saying, "Well, she's wrinkling those clothes. What is she doing with?"
No,
but what would you do if you took these
Sean Levy. You're so lucky you had him shepherding the whole thing.
Don't interrupt my Sean Levy impression.
Greatest guy.
I know.
It was very good. It was very good. Yeah. And then the next day, I got a call in the hotel room as I was leaving back to Heathrow. And then it was the directors and they said, do you want to be our 11 and can you shave your hair off? And I was like, yes and yes. And then literally 3 months later, I was shaving my hair off.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Amazing.
By the way, we've all had those moments. We've all had people say stuff to us in our career where they go, you're not right, you're never going to be right, or you're not going to ever, all that kind of stuff. But,
his name is Scotty.
But to say, and Scotty says that a lot too, and rightfully so. You've got very little talent. But what is particularly repulsive is when an adult says that to a 10-year-old, and I know it's a professional environment, But in that moment, to think that it's okay to say something like that to a 10-year-old, to me, is absolutely way out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think.
You know what, though? I just feel like that to me, doesn't even, like, really scrape the surface. Like, it's growing up in the industry, it can get like that. People see you as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And because
they forget that you're a kid because you're coming.
Well, you're hired. You're hired. So you're like you're hired like an adult.
Yeah.
Right. You don't work the hours as an adult, but you're expected to be there like an adult. Like you're expected
and hold
to do
adult
the job.
Responsibility
you're expected. Yeah.
And,
same responsibilities. Yeah. Like pretty much everything is the same. You know, except you got to do school 3 hours a day. Really. Like that's really it. And so, I was so lucky because like for me, and I guess that maturity really paid off because I was really able to understand the weight of what I was doing. So I was never like, yippity-doo-dah, like what am I doing next? Like I was always very like, okay, like I have my cool time is tomorrow. I need to get 8 hours. Like I was so strict with myself.
Yeah.
My parents were always like, you know, they always kind of knew I was like that too. Like I loved school, would really prioritize school. Like, I was just kind of, like, annoyingly one of those kids that just, like, loved work.
No problems.
Loved school.
Yeah.
Just loved really, like, being on set. Like, I was so excited to be done with school so I could have more hours at work. Because I loved it.
I love that. You know what I noticed? By the way, this is, hopefully you don't think this is something bad, but, like, I've noticed.
Here we go.
You're in the States right now, United States?
My accent.
Yes. I was just going to say, you go in and out. It's really cool, actually.
Well, because she spent a lot of time here and spent a lot of time there. Right?
That was such a huge thing for a minute. Like, my whole, like, I actually call it the accent gate because it's, like, so frustrating because that was, like, everywhere. Like for a second, like, everyone was talking about my accent and they had a real problem about it. And I was like, guys, like, I'm married to an American. When I'm around his family, I immediately go into, like, an American accent. But then I was just in England, and then the second I hear my mom and dad's accent, I just go right back
into
it.
It's really cool.
And I'm like, you want me to be an actor? You want me to play these characters? But you expect me not to morph into people. Right. What I hear is what I do. Like, I do that, you know? And it's like, it's all part of it. And I'm just like,
wherever you are, you're going to be influenced by your location.
Just like you are. You're doing it right now, Will.
Yeah, of course. And
with your English accent.
Sean's about to move on to Old Queen Road, and then he's going to morph into that. So, like, everybody.
There's a nice flat over there that I'm really eyeing.
What are you doing, dude? What are you doing?
Really, if it's so, closing the loop on the childhood start thing, what would you say to that 10-year-old starting out now that you know a lot since then? What do you think you could say to that 10-year-old that would help her kind of cut some corners?
You know, like, I'll be honest, like, I really think that, like, I am so glad, like, everything happened to me. Like, even the shitty stuff that I know kind of was hard at the time that I was going through, like, I needed to go through it. Like, because I really am, like, a different person from it. Yeah. And, like, I know it sounds silly, but I started this when I was 8 years old, and I'm turning 21 next week. And
happy birthday.
Same.
Thank you. we're all 21.
We're all turning 21.
Yeah, like, what is the one, what, like, to Jason's, like, what is the, looking back now, what is the one thing or several things
that you wish you knew?
That you wish you knew, like, that you go, you know what happened to me when I was 11 or 12 or 13 or 14? I'm going to make sure that never happens again.
Yeah. Or that I didn't need to worry about this as much. Or
conversely, so you don't focus on a negative, I wish there was something that I did more of. There's, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, no, totally. I think for me, honestly, like, the only thing I would say to her is, like, your parents, like, you're good. Like, don't worry. Mm-hmm. Like, they got you. Like, no matter what. Like, lean into that as much as possible. Because that's when you're a kid, you try and, you know, you want to do everything on your own and you're trying your best. And, like, like, no. Like, I am so reliant on my family. And, like,
that's nice.
Honestly, like, they have kept my feet on the ground. And
you can tell.
I just would probably say, I'd probably say to them, like, or say to her, that, like, because I know she was maybe a little bit scared about growing up and making sure
Well, she's going to be scared that you're there in the first place because you're appearing out of nowhere.
Right.
As your older self.
So, I mean,
that's true. She would be terrified.
Give her a little space, okay?
But no, what I was, like, I feel
she's
like...
She's got to absorb all that.
I feel like what's cool, though, is that when I was younger, I was so afraid of becoming those infamous child stars that just go
Jason
awry,
Bitten.
Right? Those, exactly, Jason. Mm. That's a huge story that I know is viral.
Yeah, cautionary tale, we call him.
Exactly. No, but, you know, and it's like, it's a deep fear because it happens. And by the way, you're constantly reminded of it in an interview at, like, 12, 13 years old, people would be like, what do you think about this person and their journey? Do you feel like you can relate to that? And trying to trick me. And I would go home and think, what if that happened to me? Like, what if I lost touch of reality? And you know, that's so scary. And it really was a deep fear. And, like, honestly, like, I just, again, would tell myself, like, you're not going to be like that. Like, you have your family.
Yeah, just anchor
guide
yourself
you.
Into your family, into the things that matter. And
yeah, but everything else, I think I'm so grateful I went through. Because, like,
so great.
Yeah, you know, and you would, I know that there are some things I wish I could maybe change and stuff. But honestly, like, I'm happy I went through it, and, like, now I can just use that as reference.
You know what? I'm just remembering, we met when you were a kid. We were at some thing. Do you remember this? You were, like, you had just started doing Stranger Things. You were, like, 12. You were with your mom, and we were at, like, some
event. Yeah, guess what, Will?
Event.
She's got no idea what you're talking about.
I know, she doesn't.
Hey, no. I will say this, and actually, it's so interesting, because Ariana Grande, I think, just talked about it. But, like, I feel that I can't remember a lot. of my childhood.
Yeah, especially when Will Arnett's a part of it. You know,
she's yeah, I know. It's like I'm a, just, I'm yeah. like no, just tone. As you were talking,
where
I was just
were
thinking,
we?
I don't know. It was at some like at some professional engagement, but you know,
because out of the gate, Stranger Things was so massive.
It was overnight.
Right away.
Yeah,
and I'm sure I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm sure all of that. Then you get like all this attention, everybody wanting to interviews and people meeting people. It's just like becomes a whirlwind and like a fog.
Yeah, sometimes
right?
people will say things to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, like I did meet that person. Like I forget who I've
you,
met.
Yeah, you can't remember at all.
I'm forgettable.
Blackout.
I'm very forgettable. I yep. will give you that. But you
said no, that. No. But like seriously, like I know people forget things when they're like you know older because they have kids, like or when they're a kid they forget things. But I
yeah, Jason doesn't remember who we are.
I'm the worst.
But I think you're right, Sean. Like. I definitely, you know, I went on a vacation right before Stranger Things came out and I had 25 followers and like, I don't even remember like what my fucking username was, but like, I remember I didn't even really know what like Instagram was and I just had it, I think just to post like videos of my dog.
Right.
And then the next night, so I like, we were driving to, I think Palm Springs or something. And then I woke up from the nap. And I woke up and I had a million followers. And
wow.
Like, my phone broke. And I like looked at my dad and he was driving. I was like, what happened? And he's like, I think this show is going to be really, really big. And I was like,
yeah.
And like, I remember I like turned my phone. I was asking my mom, like, can you turn this off? Like, I don't know how to even work this. And we got to the Palm Springs hotel, to which the whole staff started freaking out because I still had like a shaved head and like I right. still looked like 11.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. like people were freaking out and I was like, wow. Oh my God. Like, so it was like actually over the course of like a drive.
63 million followers.
You have 63 million followers?
Yeah.
Wow.
On what platform?
Instagram.
Is that Instagram?
Look at that.
On Instagram, I think.
Good Lord.
Wow.
You're looking good.
Looks wow. nothing like what I'm showing right now.
No,
but, yes.
but wow, you look amazing.
Thank
That's
you.
Insane.
Well, now, yeah. so then, growing up with all of these sort of interesting pressures, to put it kindly, as Stranger Things was exploding, was it helpful to have other kids on the show? That you guys could sort of go yeah. through that together, and now that it's over, is there a how do you, that's like those are brothers of yours that you have
yeah.
to like say goodbye to? Like, is it
yeah.
strange? Is it hard?
It is strange. I think you know. I'll be honest. Like you know, the kids, because there's so many boys. It was so great because I know that they had such great camaraderie and in their kind of brotherhood of growing up and being teen boys, you know, in this huge hit show. For me, my journey was a little bit different.
Sure.
Like, you know, I feel like as a woman and as a young girl, I just went through it a bit differently
right.
in sure. terms yeah. of like the things that I was wearing and the kinds of, you know, things I was kind of not
interested in,
subject to experiencing, but just yeah. a bit more like people would ask me very different questions than they would ask them. Or, you know, they would, I would kind of, yeah, it just, that's the way it felt. It was very much like they could just be them. And I kind of had mm-hmm. to put a show on a little bit more.
Right, mm-hmm. right, yeah.
Which was just a bit, it was just my different experience. But again, yeah. not like a bad experience, but no. just different. And I am so close with the boys. Like I love them. And mm-hmm. I have been really lucky, again, to have that experience with them. And saying goodbye to them was really, really emotional.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that last day on this set. It was, started crying. It was
yeah.
incredible. Your speech was great.
Thank you. It was a lot longer than what I put on Instagram, but I really wanted to, you know, I love the boys and I love the cast, but the crew, like I grew up with these people and most of them were like my parents.
Now, what about, let's get to David Harbour. I'm about to start a project with David Harbour. Any hints, any tips, any things to get ready to enjoy, any things to watch out for? It's just you and I talking. Here we go.
David and I, he played my dad in the show. And mm-hmm. I would honestly say this, the most real relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like.
Yeah. I hear he's fantastic.
he and I like had like a really, really transparent relationship where we're very, very honest, can be brutal with each other, but like really like good friends. Like, and he, I think what is so amazing about him, he like, everything's about your heart. Like he sees your heart. He knows what you want. He wants to find like the beauty in everything and the beauty in the scene. And yeah, he wants to find it. And he always gave me that platform.
Good luck with JB.
Yeah, I'm all heart.
good luck in finding any beauty in that heart. You know what I mean?
We'll be right back.
All right, back to the show.
You know what's so amazing? I'm sorry, at the beginning you said Millie or Millie Bobby? Millie.
You can call me Mill, whatever.
You got to call her Millie Bobby Brown. I think you have to do the full.
Miss Brown.
And then Bon Jovi.
Miss Brown.
And then Bon Jovi.
Is what's really cool is that a lot of people with your success at such an early age would probably feel like, great, I did it. Now I don't have to, whatever, I can rest on my laurels and whatever. But you just keep going with incredible work. And like Jason said at the beginning, with this new line of products that you have, and it's really impressive that you still have a drive and a curiosity and a
purpose. Got a big movie coming out this year too. Don't you have a big movie coming out?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about what Electric
State.
State.
Oh, the Electric. Yeah, and Pratt's in that too, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
And then you have those upstart directors, the Russo brothers, I believe.
I know.
You know, like, oh, how did you get through that?
Oh, these guys.
I was terrible.
Fucking guys.
These guys.
You know, I walked onto that set, and it's like a well-oiled machine. Pratt's a different story. Pratt is like, I don't even understand. Like his thing, which I love, is like he always says, and I love this. He'll go like, if you come to set in a bad mood, like, what are you having a hard time living your dream? And like, mm-hmm. I'm always like, I yeah. love that. Like he yeah. comes to set and he is truly so grateful and honored to he be is. There yes. and to like yes, fulfill yeah. that yeah. role. Yeah. And yeah. he taught me a lot. Cause like, I love work, but like, you know, you go through your days where you're like, for fuck's sake, like I'm having a bad day. But yeah. he saw, and he brought sun every day. It was always positivity. It was always funny. Yeah. It was always like just so, and the Russos also are so great at that, like keeping such a great spirited like set.
I saw the movie. It's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
It.
I love, yeah, the, I mean, the movie, like immediately I was so excited to do it because I had never done anything like this. And also my dream was to work with the Russo brothers. So like
Russo call you? You know how he calls everybody by their last name, or he'll go like, hey, hey, Pratt, go sit down. Hey, yeah. Arnett, move to the... Did he call you Brown?
He didn't. He calls me Mills. That's it.
Mills.
Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mills.
Sometimes he doesn't even bother to get up out of his chair. He'll just go yell.
I love when he does that. So he'll be like, right. You know what? Once he said to me, I come into his tent and I'm like, hey, guys,
his
like,
tent.
Did you... Yeah. His yeah. tent. And I'll be like, hey, like, did you see that? And he's like, yeah. And then he goes, we're getting cannolis. If you do this take, you get a cannoli. And I was just like, fuck yeah. And because he's so Italian. And I just remember like he gets like their assistant comes in with just like basically a box of cannolis and everyone's just eating.
His name is Anthony.
No, not Ant.
No,
not Ant.
Ant.
Ant. Hey, Ant. By the way, you go in there and you'd be like, hey, Joe, what do you think? And he's like, hang on a second, I'm just doing my fantasy football. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, no. Joe's doing his fantasy lineup and Anthony's actually running
on
shit.
On Electric State, he was addicted to TikTok and we actually had to have a sit-down talk about
of
it.
Of course
did
he was.
Did you teach him any dances?
No, I don't have TikTok. I do not like TikTok, so I am not a fan of TikTok. So I, because I
interesting,
just
interesting. Walk me through that a little
yeah,
bit.
We've made some news right there.
I have a hard time with social media. I don't like social media,
thank
which
you.
Is actually bringing
says
it back.
Says the girl with 63 million followers.
It's not her fault they
I
follow her.
I don't have Instagram. I don't have Instagram on my phone. Someone else does it for me. And I'll take a picture and then I'll send it to someone and then they'll post it for me.
I love this. I think that's really healthy. I think that, you know, I've been a proponent of everybody taking a pause on social media. I think it's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really good for you.
But I'm not like, it's not like just TikTok. Like TikTok, I think, is a platform where I used to see more negative than I did positive. So I was like, okay, I'm out. I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So I felt the same thing with Instagram. So I deleted that.
Good.
So now I have no social media on my phone. So I don't get notifications about what's happening in the world, who's dating who.
Yeah, that's great.
That's amazing.
And I just don't enjoy it. So I am out of the loop. But
however, Joe...
Oh, he's not.
Joe has a problem.
He's not. He had a problem, and I had to bring it up to him. He knew that his scrolling for hours was becoming a huge issue, and his algorithm was so weird. Like, his,
and he'd
like,
forget to. Would he forget to yell cut?
No, never that bad. But like, it was like I would like we would be setting up a shot, and he's just like in there in his amazing chair that and just scrolling away, chuckling to himself.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
and Anthony's
dude,
out there. Setting frames.
Yeah, Anthony's a lot more responsible than Joe. Joe's just scrolling cannolis.
Anthony, wait,
shopping for a wheelchair so he doesn't ever have to stand up. All right, let's get back into this interview.
Yeah, let's get back into it. Millie, you've got so much going on.
I want to talk about the children. I want to talk about your 10 children.
Yes.
What are their names?
So, okay. So basically I have Bobby, Marley, Max, Winnie, Agnes, Rigby, Pookie, Juno. Did I say Dorothy yet?
Nope.
Nope. Dorothy, and I'm missing one. Jimmy.
Sweet, Jimmy.
So I have
Jimmy.
10 dogs, but then I
but
have...
you've got a couple of turtles and a donkey.
So I have... So I live on a farm, so I take care of... I have a horse, four ponies... two
so you have
cows,
more than 10 children.
Five goats. Yeah,
oh
I mean,
God.
And they
in
all...
The, are you in the UK?
I'm in Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Okay.
Wait, but did the 10 dogs stay in the house or out of the
yeah,
house?
Yeah, so the 10 dogs are in the house. And then I have the farm animals, but the farm animals, I only got a donkey because I had a coyote problem. And coyotes are terrified of donkeys.
Wow.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. So I got a donkey. Then I basically... started rescuing farm animals. So basically, like, there would be a farm, like, and here in Georgia, like, there's, like, goats on the side of the street, and you're like, what the hell? Like, who can take these? And I would just basically take these animals, and then I bottle fed them. So I would bottle feed, like, these farm animals that a goat came onto set of Electric State every day. I had to bottle feed my goat M&M for, like, every 4 hours.
Like the candy or the wrapper?
The wrapper, because he's the goat.
Okay.
Hence the name.
Love it.
Stupid Will.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I want to get back. Can we just get back for 1 second to the donkeys? Are some sort of a coyote kryptonite? Now, is that true? Because you know we've got massive coyote issues here in Los Angeles.
It is true. So
that's why people. Well, that's why people often ask Sean to come over because they recognize what a jackass he is.
Hey,
but
what about horses? Are the coyotes? They don't care about the horses.
No,
it's a donkey.
Actually, it is a donkey. A donkey. They actually are quite aggressive, which sounds kind of weird. But if a donkey like saw a dog. The donkey would try and kill the dog. Like, it is very, very much like, if you Google it, like, you will see that, like, donkeys, like, are very serious.
I'm going to get on a YouTube wormhole here and watch donkey fights.
I think Arnold has a donkey.
He does.
Pretty sure.
He does.
He does, right?
Yeah.
Who does?
So, like...
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger's got a donkey?
Yeah, he has it in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jake had to kind of draw the line at some point because we were bringing in these... goats that sleep in our bed and they were in diapers.
What?
You got a diaper goat in the bed?
Yeah, they sleep with me at night.
What?
Because
what?
I have to take
girl,
care because
girl,
they're
are you
babies.
So crazy?
they were basically babies and so I would sleep with them and Jake, they would be in the middle and they are so cute and I basically, Jake would get up and do a shift and then I would get up and do a shift. Yeah, she would do that actually. I had like Norman, Lammy, M&M. I did the same thing with my cows.
Wait, but they would wear a diaper in the bed with you.
You've got to lose yourself. You own it the moment. You never get it back.
It's so stupid, dumb, and cheap. You're fired. Millie, please continue.
I liked that a lot.
Wait, but you would have to change their diapers and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, and then people started in my community, people started thinking I was pregnant because I was buying bottles and nappies and all the things.
Yeah.
So then they reach around like 8 weeks old, and then they're, you know, they're full grown and they have horns and they're wanting to go outside. So then I have to put them outside. And then we put them outside, and then
it's
basically
not a good combo. Horny in a diaper.
Mm-mm. No.
Speaking of Scotty, do you think
all right, so then they're outside, and then you move on to another baby animal in the bed. Yes?
Yeah, so to go on to. So then I have I have 20. Okay, you're not actually going to. I have 25 dogs, but on top of the 10. So the 25 live outside, but I have a shed, and I rescue dogs off of the street and from high euthanasia.
Jake is on board with all of this nonsense?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like, this is like, he knows how much I like love animals. Like
you can't have all those animals.
No, so we drew the line. Actually, he said no more. But but I have to obviously have my dog Winnie in the bed. Like that's like we're not compromising on that. It is a deal breaker. But he does allow farm animals, and he enjoys it as much as I do. Like we just had two baby puppies, neonatal puppies, come to us right before Christmas, and their mom got taken away, so they needed to be bottle fed. They weren't taking to the bottle. So Jake and I, every 4 hours, would tube feed these babies.
Oh, wow.
In an incubator.
I thought you were going to say that you had to bird feed them, you know.
Jason,
no,
how
I actually wouldn't do that at all. But I would do a lot for animals, but that is where I would
Jason,
draw the line.
Jason, I'm just thinking about Jason. He can't walk on a hotel carpet unless
without
he's got slippers on.
Socks and slippers.
He's got to walk. Can you imagine being in that? Yeah, I mean, you're there for 2 weeks. I would bring my slippers too. It's not crazy. Yeah. But Jason, the thought of these animals in their bedroom.
No. Yeah, there's too many exposed bacteria ports on an animal to rub on your pillow or where other parts of your body might.
I just have like no. I do not think that like when I think of an animal, I am just like I get in my car. Mm. And I'll go on Facebook because I have a fake Facebook of a different person.
While you're driving?
No. Right before I drive, I go in and I see in my community if there are any stray dogs that have been dumped. And then I go and I pick them up and I put them in my car. And then I take them to animal control and get them registered. Then I bring them back to my house and I microchip them myself and I vaccinate them myself.
No way.
And then groom them. I give them usually their first night will be in my house.
That.
And then I build kennels outside and I have a full staff. And recently I just got my rescue license. So now I'm actually a rescue.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But
now we've found over 250 dogs homes.
Oh, that is lovely.
That's incredible. It breaks my heart that there is 250 dogs to be found.
Yeah. Like in the rural parts of Georgia, it's really, really bad, and there's a lot of dog fighting rings, and I have a lot of that situation. I see that a lot. But Jake is amazing. Like he loves seeing the animals come in and out. Like he'll be like, "Mill, like this one comes in for 24 hours and then gets adopted the next day." Or sometimes some of them have been with us is like around 2 years.
So people are aware that they can go to your whatever to adopt.
Just the website. Like if you want to go on
the website.
Okay.
What's the website?
It's joeysfriends.com and you can view the available dogs we have, all of them.
J-O-E-Y?
J-O-E-Y, joeysfriends.com. And they're all vaccinated, microchipped, fixed, house trained, leash trained, and crate trained. So that's like
Wow, I love that.
But what about if you grow too attached to one of these animals?
I never do.
She's grown attached to 10 of them.
My own, like I would never get rid of any of my own. But the ones I bring in, I realize like if I don't find you a home, I cannot find the next one a home. So it's like the faster I find you an amazing home, the quicker I can get in my car and go and pull from another animal control and basically lower the euthanasia list.
Can I go to the natural next question, which you're welcome to say I'm not answering that. I'm sure the desire to maybe have a child yourself one day burns bright. Mm-hmm. Question mark?
Yeah.
Yes?
I mean, that is like, that has
You're
been-
still very young.
I'm still really young, but I, my mom actually had her first child at 21 and my dad was 19.
Wow.
And they, you know, I it's been my thing since before I met Jake. Like since I was a baby, like I told my mom, like baby dolls, like I wanted to be a mom just like the way my mom was to me and my nan. Like my grandmother is like a huge, she was a huge part of my life. And so, yeah, I mean, Jake knows how important it is to me. And like, of course I want to focus on really establishing myself as an actor and as a producer, but I also find it's so important to start a family for me personally. Mm-hmm. Like it's a huge thing. Jake was like, we cannot do that until we get married. So that was his thing. Mm-hmm. And my thing was, I really want a family. I really want a big family. Like I'm one of four, he's one of four. So it is definitely in our future. But for me, like I don't see having your own child, you know, as really any different as in adopting. So I feel like anything's out, because for me, like my home is full of love for anyone and anything. And so that is like what kind of we stand by, Jake and I, is like our energy in the house is like the door is always open and we want everyone to feel really comfortable.
I'm headed there in 2 weeks to start this thing with David.
More than welcome.
Their door is open, so.
The door is unlocked. So that's kind of where we're at. We're very much like we are always going to be, you know, wanting to start a family and just doesn't really, it doesn't matter in what way or when, but it will happen for sure.
That's so great. Well, Millie, one more time with the website. What's it called?
Joey'sFriends.com.
Joey'sFriends.com. That's amazing.
Yeah, good for you. Cool. Well, you're an absolute delight, Millie.
Yeah, you are a delight.
Thank you, guys.
Again,
so much.
Please tell Dad hello.
I will. I'm going to call him right now. He's going to be very pleased to hear that you even remembered him, to be honest with you.
Oh, this man. Totally unforgettable. have a great rest of your day. Go
thank
bottle
you.
Feed.
I will.
And
rescue more.
Thank you very, very much for doing this.
Thank you guys so
for
much.
For me, it was really, really cool to meet you. I've been a fan ever since,
Thank you so much, guys. It's been really nice to be able to talk to you guys.
It's great to see you again, even though you don't remember.
No,
it's okay. It's okay.
It'll come back to her soon.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I hope to see you in person. And
I'll be there in 2 weeks.
Great to talk to you. All right. See you there. Exactly.
Bye,
guys.
Millie.
Thank you. Bye.
Now this is a good person, you know.
That was really cool. Like for me, I don't know if you guys are as big of a fan as I am. By the way, she's done tons of stuff, but like I'm a massive Stranger Things fan. The last season's coming up. I'm super excited. I love it.
Is there a spoiler that you were dying to ask her that she probably wouldn't have been able to answer
about
this final season?
Well, no. You just want to know like how they did it.
Yeah, like why did it all
happen?
What was the thing in the underworld? What was it called? The upside down.
The upside down. Oh, yeah. Did you watch it too?
I've seen it. Yeah, yeah
it's a fantastic show. I love how cinematic it is.
All those kids are such great actors, and she's
a great actress. Yeah,
she's
amazing. Gaten Matarazzo too. He's great. He's the one of the kids in the show. Oh, they're all great, by the way.
They're all great.
But, you know, Gaten Matarazzo was in Les Mis on Broadway as a kid.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah, what else, Sean? Yeah, what did he do there? Oh, he's happy with this one. Go ahead. Take your time.
I don't
breath.
Have one.
You actually don't have one. I thought you did. I thought you were leaning in. You were... No?
Oh, no, I got one. It's,
do you?
You know,
it's going to be Bye-Bye Birdie. Watch this.
No. But Will nailed it. One of the greatest things about Stranger Things is the
you're an idiot.
That wasn't very good. What about...
Well, she's got dual citizenship, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, this
and,
one?
And so this she's... what would you call that?
Bi-national!
Yes!
Bye! Bi-national. Bye!
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarve, and Bennett Barbico.
Smartless.